You're listening to the Tillage Podcast with the Irish Farmers Journal, supported by Bayer Crop Science.
Hello, and you're very welcome to this week's Tillage Podcast. I'm Siobhan Walsh, recording on Wednesday evening, the 20th of March, for your records later on. Coming up, we talk fieldwork, a request for €60 million in tillage supports, forage crops from the tramlines, we chat to a Chagas advisor on the signpost programme, and as always, have the grain market and weather reports. Okay, first up, field work. I mean, where do we start? The weather is just still atrocious. Just that persistent rain. But look, there are spells there where people are getting work done, which is good. But not everyone is getting out to fields. And unfortunately, no weather yet or conditions for spring sowing. So, you know, a good bit of progress made in last weekend and the weekend before, and even I heard reports on Wednesday of a good bit of work going on down in the south of the country, particularly the Cork area. But people have managed to get fertilizer out onto winter crops and herbicide growth regs, and even reports of an odd person going out with their T1. There are some very advanced crops in some parts of the country, particularly down around South Tipperary, Kilkenny area. And those crops are heading towards their T1 stage. Some of them have got their main split of nitrogen. No doubt, there's plenty of winter crops out there which have no fertilizer. And I wouldn't be too worried about the wheat, but it's a priority to get it out on the wheat. But it's even more of a priority where there isn't fertilizer gone out on winter barley. And as you drive around the country, you can see winter barley crops which haven't received fertilizer. And, you know, for the most part, the ground is untravelable. And It's a terrible situation to be in, not to be able to get out. So if ground conditions improve at all, that fertiliser has to get out on the winter barley as soon as possible at all. Spring cereals, of course, sowing has to be done. So try and tip away as much as you can at the winter cereals and winter oilseed rape field work. Get that main split of nitrogen out on your oilseed rape crops. So that you're ready for spring sowing. And of course, spring beans will be the priority there. And people will be worrying now that it's getting late for beans. But I mean, the protein payment is there. There's some insurance there. And we can plant beans right into April. And we've seen the last few years, beans that have been planted in April are doing just fine. And with the payment there, it absolutely makes sense to do it. But look, have your seed in the shed, your fertilizer in the shed, and be ready to go on those beans. Look, you're looking at this stage at a plant count or a target plant count of about 40 plants per metre squared, and just check your 1,000 grain weight on the seed. And so you're multiplying your plant count by your 1,000 grain weight and dividing by your estimated establishment percentage, which, look, if conditions come right, is going to be fairly high. But look, be ready to plant anyway. Have the drill ready or the contractor ready and get them in as soon as conditions allow. But unfortunately, look, we'll get to the weather later on, but there's plenty of precipitation in the forecast. Okay, in this week's paper, leading on from fieldwork, we've started from the tramlines page once again. So it's back for the year. So we delayed the start of it this year somewhat because of the way fieldwork was going. So we farmers across the country, some of them were with us last year, more of them are new farmers to the programme. So we'll chat to 12 farmers across every month. So 3 farmers every week. And, you know, farmers in Dublin, Tipperary, all over the country, Derry, and a great mix of farmers. So, you know, cereals, good break crops on a lot of the farms, malt and barley growers, vegetable growers, organic growers, spud growers. So there's plenty going on, and there'll be plenty of interest in that, I'm sure. It's always a very well-read page and in the paper. Conor Keogh is back. He's our tillage reporter. So he is back to do the tramlines every week as well. So that's a page to look forward to in the paper for the rest of the year. One of this year's tramlines farmers is Sam Miles, and Sam is from Donegal, but he manages the Keepack farm in Cluny in County Meath. And Keepack actually held a walk on their farm lately because they're part of the signpost programme. So they held a walk. It was centred around organic manures and all of the actions that are going on in the farm for signposts. That was held a few weeks ago, and we'll have a write-up from that walk in next week's paper. And at that walk, we spoke to Conor O'Callaghan, and Conor is the Chagas advisor on the farm. So we chatted to Conor a little bit about the signpost programme. Conor O'Callaghan, we just had a great walk here on the Keepack farm, and they're of course in the signpost programme. So you might just tell us a little bit about the signpost programme first, maybe, and the tillage farms in it.
So the Signpost programme is made up of 10 demonstration farms across Ireland, which Keepack is one of them. Keepack is located here just outside Dunboyne in Carlstown. It's covering 314 hectares, all probably within an 8 kilometre radius here of the home farm block. It's a tillage, it's a specialist tillage farm incorporating a beef finishing unit, which to finish 5,000 cattle here on a yearly basis.
Yeah, and Signpost, of course, then is all about climate, reducing your emissions, improving your water quality, and that was what the walk was about today. There's 70 farmers here or so, I think, Connor, and all very interested, really enjoyed the walk. The first stop was on... I'm trying to think back now. It was the
12 steps.
The 12 steps, and we were in the cover crops there in the front of the field. So what are some of the simpler things that they're doing on the farm here to reduce their emissions?
Yeah, well, some of the simpler things that when we came here to the farm in 2021 and we looked at the rotation, there's only three crops predominantly in the rotation.
Yeah.
So firstly, we started introducing more break crops into that rotation, being oilseed rape and beans.
Mm.
We looked at organic manures then and how we could increase the nitrogen efficiency here on the farm.
Yeah.
So we changed from applying our slurry onto stubble in the autumn, and we've started applying it in the springtime onto standing crops of wheat and barley, which was what the farm walk was about here today. We started chopping straw in places on headlands and incorporating that back in, and just simple things, growing catch crops from year to year to mop up some of those nutrients that may be left from previous crops and things like that.
So the improvement in rotation and the reduction in fertilizer, that's ultimately to reduce your nitrous oxide emissions, and that's the most potent gas that's coming off tillage farms that we need to reduce.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things we've reduced our chemical use by 50 kilos on our winter crops of wheat and barley. We've changed from predominantly can source nitrogen to protected urea, which is another big change and a help here on the farm.
Yeah. Was that an easy change to make? What with tram lines are we on? 24 metre tram lines, is it? So was there a bit of work in changing that?
We were on 24 metre tram lines. There was a bit of convincing. We've a very good relationship with our contractors here that do all the work here. With the newer technologies, with the new spreaders, GPS, flow rate meters in spreaders, they were well able to do it once the calibration was correct. We start with the right product. Once you get a quality product, you've some hope of spreading it.
Mm.
So between a quality product, good machinery, good operator, in the proper conditions, mind the wind and things like that, we're well able to do it and spread the urea to 24 metres.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Sam as well, but you had that demonstration on the organic manures, you were applying it to the winter barley there today, and we've seen this down on Tom Barry's farm in County Cork, and he's doing this a long time. But how practical is that to do on your average tillage farm who's not in the Signpost programme?
Yeah, well, your average tillage farm, I suppose one of the big things you're probably going to come up against is quality of slurry and availability of slurry when you want it. And I suppose that's the big thing. One thing that was here today was your correlation between your dry matter and your nutrients that's available and that's in that slurry. So I suppose first thing is getting a source for that slurry, a constant source for that slurry, testing it even in a lab or with a hydrometer to actually see what the nutrients are. And then secondly, I suppose, infrastructure or capability of your contractor being able to feed the dribble bar is one of the big things. Like there's for example, we've 100 acres just away from the farm here, there's 6.5 kilometres away, so 4 tankers and a dribble bar is needed for that operation to keep the dribble bar going to spread that 100 acres in 2 days.
Okay, yeah, so it's intense, and it's very well organised here and good contractors in place as well for it. Connor, I'll leave you on water quality. We're on high clay soils here. A lot of phosphorus is probably the highest risk here, and the buffers are key to keeping phosphorus out of the waterways. And on the farm here, those buffers are very prominent, very easy to see. But that's probably not the case on all farms across the country. And whether we like it or not, we do have to put those buffers in place. So you might just tell us what buffers we need in place.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look here, like any farm, we're always trying to improve. We had good buffer zones, we have marginal buffer zones.
Yeah.
So the marginal ones we're trying to improve it, put in bunds around potential areas of pollution, and make sure we have the 3 meters. And even on the opposite side of a watercourse where a hedge may be, we're making sure that we have our additional meters on that side as well. Like that's needed for 3 meters. So our hedge counts for 1 meter, and then we've 2 meters into the field. Any places that needs work on increasing our margins, we're putting the Coxfoot and Timothy grass into those margins there to make sure that we've no pollution or impact on the environment or water quality here on the farm.
Connor, great work, great walk, and no doubt we'll come back to you after another while in the signpost program and see what's changed.
Perfect. Thanks very much, Sean.
Thanks, Connor. Thanks very much to Connor for joining us. And as I said, we'll have that piece in the paper next week from the Keepack Walk. And we also have a chat with Sam for next week's podcast as well. So something to look forward to there. Okay, also in the paper this week, we have a forage focus. So look, as time goes on, people are going to be wondering, should they be growing different crops apart from their standard cereals and their beans or whatever as the sowing season gets delayed. So we've information in that forage focus about maize and beet, a bit of red clover in there as well, and just the rules around buffer zones as well, just to clarify for any crops that are going to be grazed. So the department has released new varieties on the maize list this year. So look, I know there's plenty of varieties not on this list that you'll be growing, and there's no covered maize list at the minute because the department have just started back up their covered maize trials last year, so we have to wait for another 2 years data to have that list published. So the only list that's there at the minute is the open maize list. So there's 5 varieties on that list: Ambition, Prospect, Resolute, KWS, Anastasio, and Saxon as well. So coming out on top is, for yield that is, our dry masher yield is Anastasio on 109 and Saxon on 107. And then if we look at starch content, Prospect and Ambition are coming out on top there. Very little between the varieties for energy, and then earliness of maturity, which is something to really look at. Anastasio is a late maturing variety, and Resolute is a medium to late variety. So that's just something to be cautious of, because you're, you know, depending on the site that you're in. We also have just a little bit of a rundown on a trial that DLF carried out this year. They planted runner beans with their maize this year. No penalty on yield, slight increase in protein by about 2%. And the aim of those trials this year will be to plant the beans again and see, can they reduce nitrogen rates by having the beans in the crop? So to see will the beans fix an amount of nitrogen and enable the farmer to cut back on artificial nitrogen rates. So good work going on there. Red clover mightn't be as much interest to people on this podcast, but certainly might be opportunities there for tillage farmers to grow red clover for silage for livestock farmers. Just one thing to be careful of, and Aidan Brennan is writing it there, there is a high P&K requirement for red clover. So he just says for 3 cuts of red clover silage with a combined yield of 15 tonnes of dry matter per hectare, a total of 45 kgs of P per hectare and 375 kgs of K per hectare is required. So that's something to keep in mind, because if you're not putting the K in, it's going to deplete your soil indices. So that's just something to watch out for. Very importantly, on the last page of that focus, we have the crop costs and returns. And look, I mean, fodder beet is coming out very high there, and the cost at €2,334 per hectare. Maize then €1,700 per hectare. Whole crop wheat €1,762 per hectare. There, of course, as usual, their Chagas cost and returns, their contractor machinery costs. So your machinery costs might be lower, they could be higher as well, but work out those cost and returns to your own costs. But very importantly, look at the costs that are involved. If you look at a crop that's stubble turnips, the cost per €1 per ton of utilised dry matter is actually €129 per hectare, and you compare that to beet at 180 and maize at 142. There's no comparison there on energy, but it's just something to keep in mind. Maize, beet, whole crop wheat, they're all really high cost crops to be growing. So if you're growing them, you can't just grow them on a whim. You need to have a customer lined up. So, you know, if you're planting maize, you need an agreement in place. You need some form of payment coming from the livestock farmer that you're going for to make sure that you're not going to be left with that crop of maize or beet or whole crop at the end of the year. So that's really important to keep that in mind before you go planting any of these crops. I was at the fodder and food security meeting, that's a good few weeks ago, but you know, some of the queries at the meeting were, well, sure, maybe tillage farmers should grow some maize. And you know, Chagas's Michael Hennessy's immediate reaction, it was, well, there's not much of a market for maize. And he was absolutely right. We can't just be growing these crops on whims. We need to have a final market for it. While we're on that, last week, of course, in the paper, Declan O'Brien had a report saying that there's people ordering their straw well in advance. And look, no harm to encourage that kind of thing either, because, you know, you want to know what straw you're going to need for your customers, and you want to know what you can put into the chopping scheme. And people have to get more organised. If they want to have straw in the winter time, they need to be more organised now, and they need to plan ahead of time and maybe put money in ahead of time, because we have another option there in the straw chopping scheme that is very valuable to us. So that's just something to keep in mind as well. On the news pages this week, we have a report from the Food Vision Tillage Group. So that Food Vision Tillage Group is currently finalising its report to go to the minister. So that's being finalised this week. And they met last week for quite a long meeting, I understand. So they met last Wednesday. So what date was that? The 13th, I think it was. I think the meeting went on from about 10 o'clock till 3 o'clock or so. So to try and finalise the report. That report was, the final draft was meant to come out this week at some stage and go to the minister as soon as possible. 25 actions in the report. We've gone through a lot of them already. Just to remind you, things like crop insurance, trying to drive the preferential use of Irish feed grain in Irish feed, taxation benefits for leasing land to tillage farmers, and accelerated capital allowances for tillage farmers, working to import organic manures to tillage land and how that can be promoted. And then the big thing is this tillage sustainability payment and a scheme for tillage farmers. Unfortunately, this report now, you know, it looks like it'll be the budget that will give money to this report to be implemented. So the group are putting this to the minister, and as I understand, they're asking for €60 million to be given to tillage for 2024. So not to wait for the budget. And they're absolutely right in doing that. At the minute, we're about to lose at least 20,000 hectares of tillage land in this country. So we need to stop that. Our aim is to increase it by 50,000 hectares. So in order to stop that loss, money needs to be injected into the sector. So it's great to see that the group are going to the minister and asking for €60 million in funding for 2024. So hopefully that comes. They're only asking for it, so I'm not saying it's coming, but that's what's in the news pages this week. Also in the news pages then, on page 2, on the editorial page, Jack Kennedy is also talking about that Food Vision report, and Jack talking about crop insurance and maybe a need for some sort of margin insurance rather than crop insurance, and I'd agree there. I don't think in Ireland we can have a crop insurance that's linked to yield. We've the highest yields in the world, but certainly talking about a crop or a margin insurance, and being cautious, you know, not to set the bar too high on things like machinery. If you look at tillage tams at the minute, you know, there's a real focus on everything has to be min-till, everything has to be this and that, but you can buy a standard fence on a livestock farm, a standard milking parlour, you know, it doesn't, there's not added requirements to it. So maybe we should be allowed to buy a standard grain trailer, a standard plough, in order to help people who want to move maybe from beef or sheep into tillage, who have no equipment and maybe would be able to plough before the contractor comes in to sow, you know. So he's just talking about the bar being very high on investment maybe. And he remarks as well, so there is a piece in the report about the amount of livestock that we would need to lose in order to increase tillage area by 60,000 hectares. They do it by in the report, and it's saying the amount of emissions that would be saved if by that land moving to tillage, and then how much money we would save in fines. So we could save between 15 and 37 million, I think it is, or something. But what's wrote in the report is actually tillage versus dairy, tillage versus beef, tillage versus sheep. And Jack's just writing on page 2, very importantly, I think, is that that's not the language we should be using in these situations. You know, we need agriculture as a whole to work together. We don't need to pit sectors against one another. And that's something that we're always trying to be very conscious. I think in the tillage sector, we're always trying to make sure that we're not, you know, for instance, the dairy farmers are renting land now because of nitrates. They're doing that because they've been forced to, because policy has forced them there. And we don't want it to be a dairy versus tillage. But yet the department, in a report this important, have tillage versus dairy in that report of tillage versus beef and versus sheep. So the language could be better in that part of the report. But anyway, look, more on page 2 on that. Okay, we'll move on to grain trends now. And there has been a pickup in the market this week, which is very welcome. So last week, Matif wheat for December finished at 211.75. So that was up just 1.75, almost €2 on the week before. But then this week we saw a jump. So by Tuesday, it had risen to 217.50 per tonne. So that was a nice little jump. And as I look at my phone now, so it's Wednesday evening, it's 20 past six as I record, and the price is at 217. So it only came down 50 cents. So it's held that little bit of a rise from Tuesday. So that's a positive note to see. May wheat, so I'm just looking, that's held as well. So it was at €200.25 on Tuesday evening. It's at 199 now. And basically all last week, or this week and last week, corn and rapeseed also increased. So maize and rapeseed increased as well, which is really good to see. And if I look just at rapeseed today, so the November price, €457 closed at today, that's up 6.50 on the day before, which is really positive. Just playing into rapeseed prices at the minute. Oil and palm oil giving support to the market. Canola area expected to decline in Canada. And looking then at the wheat markets, so there's a number of things going on, things with currency, the dollar strength against the euro, and then of course the crop conditions, as we've said every week, crop conditions in Europe and particularly places like France is poor. 66% of soft wheat now in good or very good condition in France. Strategy Grains came out saying that barley and wheat production in Europe was going to decline, wheat down 1 million tonnes since the February forecast, and barley down 1.3 million tonnes since the February forecast. But overall then, the International Grains Council then came out with a different report and said that global grain production is forecast to increase by 28 million tonnes, and that's coming from big crops in South America, a big maize crop in China as well, and then an improved wheat yields in Australia. So plenty of grain coming onto the market as well. Another point to note, Reuters reported this week that the EU might be going to impose tariffs on Russian grain, and Reuters reported that the EU is preparing to impose tariffs on grain imports from Russia and Belarus to placate farmers and some member states. But the amount of grain that's coming in, I suppose, is small, that's coming into Europe. And the Financial Times reported that tariff might be €95 per tonne, but nothing confirmed there. That's just a report in from Reuters. Malting barley price, just it's interesting to see. Spot malting barley, that's the free on board Creil price, increased by €7 per tonne last week to 267. And then again this week, it was at 275 on Tuesday evening. And as I look at my phone now, it's still at 275 on Wednesday. And then the 2024 price, this is a Sebastian malting barley price, again, free on board Creil, and that increased by €5 per tonne this week to €245 per tonne. So look, grain markets are on the up in some shape or form. I'll go to the weather report now, and the forecast for Friday, blustery with sunny spells and showers mainly in the north and west at first, but quickly becoming widespread. And there's a chance of hail, temperature 7 to 11 degrees. Scattered showers will continue Friday night with some heavy with hail. And the showers will be most frequent over West Connacht and West Munster, and also over western parts and northern parts of Ulster. And temperatures overnight 1 to 4 degrees. Saturday will be windy with sunny spells and widespread showers, some heavy and a chance of hail. Highest temperatures 6 to 9 degrees. Saturday night will be drier, showers becoming lighter and more isolated. Lowest temperatures of 2 to 6 degrees. Sunday then start off dry with just isolated showers. However, cloud will increase from the west during the morning, and rain will spread across the country during the afternoon and evening. Highest temperatures of 8 to 11 degrees. And then Sunday night, some lingering rain, temperatures of 2 to 4 degrees. And the outlook for Monday to Wednesday, current indications are for unsettled weather. Next week, showers look likely for Monday with drier conditions following Monday night and Tuesday. And wet and windy again on Wednesday. And temperatures 6 to 9 degrees. And nights will see values close to freezing or below widespread frost expected. So the antifreeze needs to go back in the sprayer whenever you come back in from the field. And as I look at the rainfall chart, there is just rain most days. Tuesday looks to be the best day there. So no break from it yet. But look, the weather will come and we're all in the same boat. So that's the weather report. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Claire and Jerome back at base for editing, to Bayer for sponsoring. Hopefully the weather does pick up despite that forecast I just read out. Get what you can done out in the fields and try your best. Stay safe. Until next week, keep the tillage flag flying.
We hope you enjoyed the Irish Farmers Journal Tillage Podcast, supported by Bayer Crop Science. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.